Time now for the College Basketball Inquirer with Dan Wetzel.
Man never eat a sandwich, and he expects to make the Final Four?
With SI's Pat Forty.
If people thought they had gotten too much Duke Carolina in their lives, wait till now.
Here's Pat and Dan.
Welcome to the pod. It's Oscar edition.
You know, if there's going to be a fight of any kind, we want in on it.
Yeah, God. We are an Oscar podcast now.
Yeah.
Greatest Oscars ever. Will Smith comes out of the crowd like a pro wrestling heel. Slaps Chris Rock. I wasn't watching. Were you watching?
I wasn't. No, of course not. I said I don't see any of the movies, so why would I watch an award show about the movies? So.
Interestingly, I watched one movie last year in the theater.
Yeah.
And we went simply because it was Thanksgiving night.
Okay.
As a family, and it was King Richard.
Oh, really?
Starring Will Smith. And he was unbelievable in it.
Yeah.
So good. It's such a good, it's a really good movie if you haven't seen it. Good for the family, too. Great story.
Yeah.
Really well done. And like, I remember commenting, thinking during the movie, Will Smith is such a good actor that someone as famous as Will Smith is on the screen. And you're looking at him going, oh, that's Will Smith. I forgot. Like, that's great. Like, that's, you just think that's Richard Williams. Like, he's just in the character. And so when you get someone that famous, I mean, you know, I've known Will Smith, like, been on TV my whole life practically or whatever, you know, like, so, but I did not take him for, I mean, King Richard, there was some violence and he took a beating from some gang members at one point.
Did he?
Yeah. He did not slap back. Didn't drop channel his inner Diaz brother, Nick and Nate, the Stockton slap.
This is a guy that at one point has taken on a zombie apocalypse and a robot apocalypse. So,
and he was Ali.
And he was Ali, yeah, right?
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
There had been some training there.
Mm-hmm.
And he was way bigger than Chris Rock.
Yeah. That's most people are.
It was very exciting.
That was tremendous.
Okay, before I get, I think that this is probably the most, the thing about this fight is these are two of the most famous people on the planet.
I know, right?
This is like, who?
And one just up and slaps the other one on live television.
I think it's the most, it is a fight with the most famous people, okay, since Ali Frazier 2 in 1975.
That was Ollie Frazier 3, wasn't it?
3. I'm sorry. That 3, is 3. Yeah.
Yep. But I think you're right. So it's merely been, you know, nearly 50 years in between extremely famous fights. This one was a one-punch TKO, though. And they were quickly separated back to their corners.
Well, it wasn't really a TKO.
Actually Chris Rock almost kind of laughed it off.
I mean,
if you're scoring it on points, it's, you got to give the decision to Will Smith. He's the one that landed the blow.
CompuBox numbers, 1-for-1.
Yeah. 100% hit rate.
Excellent power punch. I don't know. All right. So very quick, we will get to the Final Four. There's this little Duke Carolina thing. There's St. Pete's.
We'll get to that. Yeah.
This is literally, but when have two people more famous hit each other in a fight
in front of everybody at a black tie affair that's washed on by how many hundreds of millions of people or tens of millions?
Smith is famous.
Yeah.
Like everywhere on earth, famous. It's pretty wild. Okay. So everybody is taking these sides. I mean, it's like the end of civilization. I love this stuff. This is hysterical.
Yeah. Immediately.
Arrest them. I am not alarmed. You might be surprised to know. I actually encourage this. I am going to watch next year's Oscars. Boom. Oh. Eyes wide open.
Yeah.
Not. Well, I've already DVR'd it.
And now in our transformation to an Oscar podcast, I think, you know, Variety and E and People Magazine, everything, they're worried. They're nervous.
Let's get on the red carpet. We should be interviewing. What are you wearing?
Sully, get us on the red carpet.
Race for the case Oscar picks. Let's go.
What are you wearing, Pat? What are you wearing?
Sequins for sure.
Backless, like right now. Like you got it. What design? I have a Memphis sweatshirt.
I'm wearing the back.
There you go. Yeah. I got a sugar bowl pullover on.
There you go. Yes, you look great in it. Great.
I do. Great. Thank you.
Tremendous look. Anyway, so I what are your thoughts? You know, who's right, who's wrong, and it is America over.
Yes, America is over. I mean, we're done now. I the amount of people that were A, just tickled, and but then B, didn't really know how to react, and there was a lot of moralizing and think of the children and the example being set and da 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 da.
Because there Americans don't resort to violence now. Yeah, like, that's right. My favorite.
I mean, you can see exactly that, like, on an airplane these days, because somebody doesn't have their mask on or whatever.
How many murders were there this weekend? Yeah. Like, come on.
Yeah.
Oh, no, America will become a violent country. These two multimillionaires are fighting.
There was a slap of one to the other. It was, oh, no, it was tremendous. Hey, you know, like 20, 30 years ago or 25 years ago, you probably could have cast Will Smith as Juwan Howard in a Fab Five movie.
Yeah, there was a lot of Juwan Howard.
Now he's Juwan Howard in real life.
And then Rock is Penny Hardaway with the balled up fist, you know, that he did against Tennessee.
He's going to have to be Greg Gard for purposes of this comparison, yeah, Sully.
I know. So, I'm just saying.
It wasn't Gard who got hit. It was the assistant.
Right. So, yeah, we need...
Chris Rock, to me, is the hero here, if only because he didn't react. Right. And I don't know how he continued the broadcast.
He had a blind fist. He was ready to go, but he was laughing.
If he had punched back, like, they would have really scrapped. Like, this thing could have gotten way bigger.
Yes. If he responds, then we're actually watching two, you know, multi-bazillionaires fight on a
rolling thing. Around. Yeah.
Yeah.
Rolling around on the yelling about where they're from. Right. Everyone's like, yeah, Philly, man. Like, dude, Will Smith has been a gazillionaire for a long time now.
Yeah.
This ain't the Fresh Prince of Bel-Air. He's got to go live with his auntie in Bel-Air, his uncle. Just one little fight on the playground. So should Will Smith have smacked Chris Rock? Not just for our purposes, but in just general. General.
No, I mean, I think this was a cheap shot joke at the expense of Will Smith's wife, who has alopecia. Presuming Chris Rock knew that she has alopecia. I didn't know, but again, this is not the kind of area where I'm fully versed by any stretch.
I didn't understand the joke. Yeah.
Right. So,
and from a 1998 movie reference, no,
I know,
less,
G.I.
right?
Jane. Yeah. I was like, what is this? I didn't even understand what had gone on.
So like, I don't mind. I don't fault Will Smith for being angry, for sure. But, you know, two wrongs doesn't make a right, Dan. And taking things in your own hands and resorting to violence, while good for the podcast, is not necessarily the appropriate response.
I hope the children that are listening understand. Yeah. You should reason. And I mean, people are so pathetic. It's like everyone thinking that because Aaron Rodgers isn't vaxxed, that they're like, you know, I've waited a year and a half to get vaccinated, and I was just about to do it. But then I heard the Green Bay Packer quarterback isn't. That was what took me. If people take all this stuff way too, people aren't that impressionable.
No,
I don't want to. Really, I don't want to encourage violence among our young listeners. We don't have any. If you're 10 years old and you're listening to this, what are you doing?
Yeah, right.
Go find something better to do.
You can do better. Yes,
you can do better than us. Okay, the rest of you, your best days are behind you. You're spending time on this. So yeah, I'm not concerned about the thing. Terrible joke though. You can't make fun of someone's like disease.
No.
I don't even condition. I don't even want to say the wrong words. I don't even know what this thing is. I knew nothing about Jada Pinkett Smith. I hadn't even thought of her in decades. Right. Yeah. I don't pay any attention to, like I said, he was really good in King Richard. Obviously I'm not a big, I don't go to a lot of movies. Anyway, bad joke, but this was my thing.
Mm-hmm.
Will Smith looked over, saw Jada Pinkett Smith was not happy. His wife was not happy. No. Now he had two choices. He's either not going up there and confronting him. Maybe he should have just, I think he should have pushed him first. And you got to square up. Can't just walk up and punch, sucker slap a guy. So that was low dog.
Okay.
But he's either going to go home and listen to her complain about this. Like, why didn't you stand up for me? This is terrible. Or you go smack the guy and just take the fallout. Well, one way or the other, he's in a bad spot.
Yeah, right. No, he is. And
she's humiliated. It was a terrible joke.
Yeah.
And there we go. So it was a slap. No one really got hurt. Chris Rock will be all right. Show went on. We got entertained.
The show did go on. That was the best part, is that then he wins the Academy Award. And goes back up there. Yeah, the last time you saw me, I was slapping someone. And now, well, thank you very much.
I mean, even in hockey, you got to go sit out for a couple minutes. Right. 2 minute minor.
Samuel right. Jackson giving him some love. You could tell that they were, he was like, yeah, I would have probably done the same thing. And when he won the award.
They all are at the same time. Like, that was a bad joke. It was really a bad joke, because I think you go there and, all right, Chris Rock's up there. He's going to make fun of me. This is part of, like, the business.
Right.
Like, I make $30 million a movie, but I get made fun of. Like, that's just part of the deal. But you can't. A lot of wrong.
Don't go after the spouse on something that's like an unavoidable condition or whatever, you know. So
they need a penalty box for the Oscars.
Now we do. Remember, like, we thought the Oscars would never get weirder than when Steve Harvey read the wrong winner. It did. Right. It did. This year, we have a new frontier.
Do you hear the backstory on that Steve Harvey? I read this story. Steve Harvey had this accountant who was stealing from him, and he didn't pay his taxes for years.
Yeah.
And so Steve Harvey owed like a gazillion dollars to the federal government. So he decided the only way out was to be able to pay this thing monthly. He took every single job he could, he said.
Really?
And just worked until he afforded and paid out all the back taxes that had gotten stolen or something. Huh. And so he was doing stuff like hosting the Oscars with like one day of prep.
Oh, gosh.
Which is how you end up, like, I think he was just exhausted. Pretty wild. All right. Should college football's main award show, the Heisman, should we have some low-level violence introduced somehow?
Absolutely, yes.
Should the second-place guy be able to slap the first-place guy? Should Peyton Manning get a last whack in at Charles Woodson? Should some of our controversial, right? Should everyone just be able to just pick some bad Heisman winner? The Heisman house could turn into a brawl. We have a house.
Oh, yeah.
Apparently.
Set up an octagon at the Heisman house, you know, the backyard, and let's have it. Let's go. I'm sure there are many old grievances and scores that would like to be settled amongst those folks. Do it.
I think so.
I'm in. I don't watch the Heisman along with the Oscars. So I would watch both if you throw in either octagon at either.
See?
So,
why not?
They'll pull me off of Twitter and my eyeballs will be fixed.
Dana White, the president of the UFC, always says you can go to any sporting event in the world. It could be the fourth quarter of the Super Bowl, the NBA Finals, whatever. Tense moment. If two utter morons who don't even know how to fight are pushing each other and throwing haymakers in the upper deck, the entire crowd will turn and watch the fight.
It's a pretty good point. And it's a marketing lesson, right?
Yes, it is primal. We like fights. I'm not going to apologize for it. I'm not going to pretend I'm a better person than that. We like fights. Celebrity boxing is huge now.
Yeah.
So this is what it is. It's okay.
Yeah.
Okay, this stuff comes from the cavemen. We're all right. We only have to adapt so much. But he's absolutely right, right? You could see anything. Like, there'll be some fight. You'd be at like a football stadium. There'll be NFL fight, you know? You can't even see. It's all the way to the other side of the field. And everyone be like, oh, what's that? And then, you got the Monday morning cell phone videos, the Monday morning quarterbacking is really just watching guys fight in the upper decks of some stadium.
Yeah, no, the 700 level for the Eagles. Everybody's getting the video there. Yeah, that's standard fare.
I saw one recently that beeped out the swear words. And I was like, look, if I'm watching cell phone video of a stadium brawl, am I going to be offended because a couple F-bombs get dropped? Who's the audience here that's like, oh, that's it? I didn't know there'd be an F-bomb.
Yeah. Now you've lost me.
Yep. They did that at the Oscars, too.
They did. I saw the bootleg video from Australia or Japan or whatever. There was no beeping out what Will Smith said.
The Aussies can handle it.
Yeah.
I mean, how much violence and swearing has Hollywood thrown out in the world through the years?
Oh my God. Go watch a Quentin Tarantino movie.
Yeah. Yeah, they celebrate Quentin Tarantino, but they're going to bleep this out.
My favorite part of it, the whole thing, is, again, you know, Twitter is largely a cesspool, but boy, it was funny last night while this was all going on. But there's a tech dude who has like a podcast and stuff, whose name is Will Smith. And he's fairly well known, apparently, but he's not that Will Smith.
But his handle is at Will Smith, right?
Yes.
Yeah,
He sees the moment, tweeted out, "Welp," you know, very shortly after it happened. And then, oh, everybody's jumping in, you know, and he played it great. And the funny thing is, it's a white guy with red hair. Doesn't really look like the Will Smith who we see on the movie screen. And somebody, you need to apologize to Chris Rock. And he's sitting there writing back, "Not until he apologizes to me first." I mean, just playing people.
Oh, that's a bad, I can't trust an eyewitness identification. They're often wrong.
That's right.
I thought this white guy with red hair was literally one of the most famous people on the face of the earth.
That's right.
Looks nothing like this guy that I've been seeing on screens for the last 30 years. Yeah. all right, let's get to the final four.
Okay. All right.
Let's do it. There is a final four. Can't talk. That concludes our Oscar. Two of us saw one movie, and that was it. Didn't even watch the Oscars. Blue Blood Central.
Yeah.
When's Villanova taking Michigan State spot in the Champions Classic? That's what I want to know. North Carolina will play Duke. Huge game. And then the other, Kansas versus Villanova. It was a wild NCAA tournament. Lots of upsets. Obviously, St. Peter's. We'll talk about them. But in the end, here we are.
It's the way it tends to work out. That's what I've said, you know.
Kind of how I like it, too.
Yeah, right? You know, I mean, the Cinderella stories are great. They're very much part of the tournament. They make it much more fun. You're introduced to people and schools and coaches and players you haven't seen or heard of. But then when it's time to get serious, okay. For the most part, Darwinism takes control. Survival and advancement of the fittest. And this is what we got. You got numbers 1, 3, and 4, winningest programs of all time. This is the first Final Four we've ever had where all three entrants have won at least 3 national championships already. 3 Hall of Fame coaches, you know, they've all been to a gazillion Final Fours. Villanova is legit blue blood now. And really, in some ways, even more of an authentic basketball blue blood because basketball's their thing. I mean, it's a thing at Duke and North Carolina, too, but they're not they play FCS football. So,
and Kansas.
Basketball is 100%.
This was one thing I thought. This is the sport of choice at all 4 schools.
True.
Carolina football has its, you know, can perk up a little bit, but there's no denying 3 of them. But for the most part, and I like that. I like that. It's a basketball tournament. It's basketball schools.
Yeah, no, perfectly fine with it. It's great. If you're a basketball purist, this is the kind of Final Four you want. Oh, my God. Yeah, storylines forever. So if people thought they had gotten too much Duke Carolina in their lives, wait till now. This week, that's what it's going to all be about. And with good reason.
Let's start with Duke Carolina, then. Let's give them some more.
Sure.
Amazing that they're here they are. Okay. You have the final game at Cameron. Carolina ruins the day. If you remember after, they all go in the locker room. They come out. The players look like they're staring into the death, which they probably are. Krzyzewski apologizes for the thing, but says the season's not over. And no, it's not. Here they are. They're playing better than ever. They're absolutely loaded with talent. I mean, they've got, I think, 5 players, and that 5 NBA players, not counting Roach, who's a hell of a player.
Yeah.
And now they're showing it, and they look really good. And now they're going to get their chance to go back at this now white-hot Carolina team that got things going against Duke. It was a bumpy ride. I mean, they blew a huge lead to Baylor, but still won. You know, they kind of snaked their way through, but took care of St. Pete and made it. And now they're here. So, I mean, Duke and Carolina, the most celebrated rivalry in the sport. I'm going to, you know, I don't know that it's more hated than Kentucky and Louisville, but it certainly could be. I mean, we have not had a dialysis clinic fight.
That's the benchmark. That's the benchmark.
Now, that only riled up, if you remember, when Kentucky and Louisville met in the Final Four that week is when 2 guys at a Kentucky dialysis clinic were arguing in the waiting room about the game,
mm-hmm.
and decided to get after it, throw hands right there. Even at the dialysis clinic, your fellow patient, sometimes someone's got to get got. They took us. They went Will Smith on him. I don't know who won that fight. So
hopefully Carolina, no body blows in that fight. I mean, you can't punch guys in the kidneys that are needing there to get kidney treatment.
Carolina Duke's a little more wine and cheese on that, but they certainly have the sub. My thing is, they always say, well, it's the biggest rivalry in sport. They like to say that. I don't really believe that. I think it's a very good rivalry. But one of my problems with calling it the biggest rivalry in sport is that they've never ended each other's season.
Right.
And that just takes everything to the next level. Like, and you know, they're both always good. The games are always matter. It's rare that either team is down at all or for more than a year. But the games don't end it. And there's something just brutal about the Yankees beating the Red Sox in game 7 and ending, you know, just you're done. You're out. Where you've dusted you off, or Alabama or Auburn taking the other one out at Nashville, Michigan, Ohio State this year. Even if it does, it's like that finality. And now we finally get that finality. It's going to be pretty amazing. I would think that both coaches will just be like, you have to treat this like another team. Forget that it's Duke and Carolina over there.
Yeah. No, they're actually, both coaches are having like their campus press conferences tomorrow, Tuesday. And I'm sure they will be just resolutely trying to shrink the focus of this. You know, Coach K, very much like Dean Smith used to do, likes to control a press conference and where it's going. This is going to be a tough one to control because you can't really get away from all of the stakes of this and everything in the context of it. You know, his career will either end or they're going to play for the national championship, depending on Duke. The last time they played was this colossal upset in Cameron. That was his last game there. And quite frankly, you know, I think Duke's people and perhaps really the Krzyzewski family turned that into a bigger deal than Mike would have. And it worked against them. But I was talking to Grant Hill on the way out of the arena in San Francisco after Duke had won Saturday night. And he thinks that Duke would not be here if they hadn't lost that game. He thinks that they learned from that. They bounced back. They got a little tougher. They got a little better defensively. And I think absolutely Carolina would not be here if they hadn't won that game. Because they were still not assured of being in the tournament. Secondly, they got a huge jolt of confidence from that and have played really well for the most part ever since then. So what happened March 5th, as big as it was, only set the stage for this one, which is the biggest of all time between these two teams. And it is amazing that they've met 257 times, I believe it is, and none of them have been in the tournament before. Here we are.
You're totally right, I think. Like, even last week I said, you know, I thought the pressure of the K retirement, I thought, really impacted the end of the North Carolina game. They're really bad at the end of the mm-hmm. North Carolina game. And I thought, hey, this is it. They've shown that. But they seem to have found a whole different resolve now.
Yeah.
My early thought is they have the better team than North Carolina. And if they play their way, they'll win this game. But I totally agree that loss played a huge role in it.
Yeah.
But Carolina is playing well, you know, and they look like they're finally looking like the team that, you know, probably should have had a better regular season. It doesn't really matter, but, you know, could have been a 2 or 3 seed as they're living up to what they had. Hubert Davis is obviously doing a tremendous job. It's a really nice scene. He was crying after the game.
Oh man. Yeah. So emotional.
So emotional. Just an all around, really, that was a really cool scene. Put some good part on, I mean, look, if you weren't a Carolina fan, if you're a Carolina fan, no offense, but everyone was rooting against you.
Yeah. That's the way it goes. Sorry.
But it was a pounding, but as you said too, like you get the big guys in there. Now we settle this. Heavyweights are settling this.
Yeah. Yeah. Exactly.
It's so better. It was that was like a disappointing game too. You're kind of excited for a good game.
Right.
And St. Peter's just didn't have it. But what a remarkable run. I mean, there's a couple other things before we get to the Kansas Villanova part. I mean, like, incredible run. I don't know a coach that had a better. I mean, Sheehan always going to take over Seton Hall. Like, could you have a better, like Seton Hall is going to be rocking immediately.
Oh,
this guy became a local icon.
Yeah.
And nationally famous coach. And Seton Hall's just sitting there going, this is great.
You could not be getting a hotter coach at a better place at the right time. You know, he's taken the sport by storm. He's a Seton Hall guy. He's recruited the hell out of New York and New Jersey to get the guys that he has at St. Peter's. He's going to turn that up another notch there at Seton Hall. You step in, you know, you're in the Big East where you're going to get plenty of marketing and marketability. And it's a perfect storm. I just wonder how much, like, he was probably going to be the guy regardless, you know, but now how much more is he worth? What's, you know, how many hundreds of thousands of dollars, if not another million, did he add in the past couple of weeks winning three games in the tournament as a 15 seed?
Yeah, I mean, he is all over it. One other thing about the St. Peter's team that I meant to get to last week, but Jeremy Schapp of ESPN unearthed this in an interview, and this is probably why they lost. Our hero, Doug Eddard, who got the Buffalo Wild Wings deal, has never eaten a sandwich, he claims.
Right. Yeah, he's anti-sandwich. That's one of the reasons.
Anti-sandwich.
One of the reasons the wings are, like, a good deal.
Says he's a picky eater and basically only eats chicken nuggets. He will occasionally eat bread. He'll eat, like, Italian bread, but as a side of something else. I did have one bite instead of a chicken parmesan sandwich.
That's it? One bite, one time? At what age? Like, wait.
Dave Portnoy, one bite challenge. One bite. Everyone knows the rules.
Who is anti-sandwich out there?
Had I known this earlier, I would not have rooted for St. Peter's.
It does change the way you look at the man, you know?
What do you got against the sandwich? Offended by the sandwich? Get any type of bread. You don't like that kind of bread? Get another. There's many types of bread out there.
And any sort of whatever you want to put between the slices of bread. The options are limitless.
Mama Eddard never make a PB&J for him when he was a kid? What is going on? Bologna sandwich? The basic sandwiches?
Very disconcerting. I'm looking him creepy. Up right now. We might be time for like an investigative report of Doug
Eddard, a serial killer. That's the question. Man never eat a sandwich and he expects to make the final four?
It's a legitimate question. I'm taking back
almost everything good about it. No wonder that mustache didn't grow in thick. You got to eat a sandwich.
Is Doug Eddard a serial killer? I think that's
nobody with a nobody in the history of Earth who has a mustache hasn't eaten a sandwich.
He's from Nutley, New Jersey. I'm looking like there isn't anything, you know,
hometown,
like
of Martha Stewart.
Is it?
Yeah, and Steve Politti.
I was looking at really. All right. Looking to see if it's like, you know, some sort of commune or something, you know, where they might just have different rules, but doesn't
they got to have something. I'm sure it's Jersey. They got a good sandwich place. They got a good deli. If not, there's at least like a Jimmy John's or something.
Sure.
Sully, what's your favorite fast food sandwich? Thanks, Sully.
You're going to pop this question on me just without even giving me a minute? Man.
All right, when you go to Subway, what's your go-to?
Throw some Black Forest ham and some turkey and some pep. Like, I want either an Italian style or a lot of shaved meats on there.
The sandwich artist must hate you.
I want the, give me the spicy Italian at Subway.
Spicy Italian is pretty strong.
What about, like, Jersey Mike's is a sandwich place from Jersey. He's from Nutley, New Jersey. He goes to college in New Jersey.
Jersey Mike's is strong.
I'm going to look it up. Nutley sandwich. Let's see what we got. We should find the sandwich guy in Nutley. See what he says. The hero king of Nutley.
Well, there you go.
They got something called the Hoboken, which is right next to Jersey City. Your neighborhood sub shop. I mean, oh my God. They have a $20. And if you want the whole, the Godfather, prosciutto, fresh mozzarella, roasted peppers, balsamic vinaigrette.
We have a Godfather here that is ham, salami, pepperoni, roast beef, bacon, provolone with mayo, lettuce, and tomato at a local joint.
Really?
Woo! It's strong. I think I'm going to get that for lunch today.
If you want the whole, it's $20.25. We'll tell you how big these sandwiches are.
Whoa.
$20? Yeah, this guy needs his own thing. They have the tree hugger, grilled eggplant, fresh mozzarella, roasted pepper, and balsamic, the mussel wrap, the belly buster.
For everybody.
They got it all. A $20 sub.
That's it. Here's all right. So Doug Eddard, unless he goes pro. Yes, I'm joking. he will be back next year for another year of of college at presumably at St. Peter's, but who knows? But if he's there, I'm going to go and do a story, and I'm going to take him to this hero king of wherever, and we're going.
The hero king of Nutley, your neighborhood hero king sub of Nutley. Shop.
Yeah.
There's a bunch of them. There's Mike's Pasta and Sandwich Shop, Traco and Sons, Deli. There's a Subway, Pete's Delicatessen. There are a lot of sandwiches in this town. You want a sandwich, get yourself the Nutley.
I think if he'd had a sandwich, he might have played better than going 0-for-5 against Carolina.
Yeah. There you go. We found it. Coach Holloway, make sure your guys are eating sandwiches. All right. We've now spent more time on that than the actual Carolina-Duke game. Look up one last thing. How crushing would this loss be for Duke? I don't think it'd be that crushing for Carolina. I kind of feel like they're on house money. They weren't supposed to be here. Believe me, a Final Four loss, the Final Four loss. They're always going to hurt.
Yep.
But I think the crush factor is worse for Duke.
No doubt. There's no doubt. I mean, Duke's going to – I don't know whether there's a line out yet. I'm sure there is. I'm sure they're favored by, 3, 4, 5 points, I'm going to guess Duke is. I think they're the better team. I think they've always been the better team, regardless of what happened in Cameron. I think it would have been fun to see a rematch in the ACC tournament, but this is far better, obviously. I mean, this is massive. And to have it in the national semifinal and give Duke a week to marinate in this and hear about, all over again about how they blew that game in Cameron, is advantage Blue Devils all over the place. And that's not to say, Carolina is playing great and Armando Bacot is just a freaking load. He is a collision waiting to happen in the middle. He's running into somebody all the time and people are falling down. Elbows are coming up high. People are getting tripped. Everyone's getting angry. I mean, he's got some WWE in him, but Mark Williams has been playing awesome at center for Duke. He's just more talented. He's not as quite as physically, imposing, but he's so long and he jumps really well. And then Banchero 6'10", 250. So they've got an advantage inside and they've got an advantage outside because I think their guards are better too. And then Carolina's guards are good. But this is one of those classic Carolina teams. Like they've got four good starters, really good. Caleb Love, RJ Davis, Brady Manick, widespread Manick, and Bacot. But then they've got Leaky Black, who to me, this is like the Carolina heritage from Dean Smith starting Scott Cherry and Roy Williams starting whoever. It's like there's always one starter. You're like, why is he the starter? And the head coach loves him. And Hubert Davis loves Leaky Black. And I don't think this is a good game for Leaky Black. I'm not sure where he fits into the mix in terms of the level of talent on the floor. So I say advantage Blue Devils.
How bad do you feel about your Purdue pick at this point?
I was afraid you're going to bring that up.
I bring it up because while Jason Dickus is in first place in the listener pool, I'm in 12th. A little step back, but we're okay. Sully 53rd. Pat, according to Sully, who has the standings, you are, quote, no idea too far down the list, end quote.
Oh, okay. That means you can't find my picks or something.
Yeah, I did some scrolling and I couldn't find you and whatever. The United States qualified for a World Cup yesterday. I ain't got time for this.
So that's it. I've been just basically Purdue. Shoved aside. I'm being libeled and defamed here is what it sounds like to me.
Purdue did not come through for you. That was a painful loss.
Yeah, that was bad.
They should.
That is as bad as it gets. I'm 47th, it looks like, here.
Oh, you had a Sully.
I'm ahead of Sully. Let me repeat. I am ahead of Sully. So
that's not hard to do. I don't have a single Final Four team left. So
I do have Kansas. That's what I got. But the Purdue loss, like I wrote about their litany of March heartbreaks, failures, flops, underachievements. This is the worst by far. I mean, I don't think it's close. All of their other disappointments pale compared to blowing that game against St. Peter's and then having St. Peter's kind of predictably turn around and just get run off the floor the next game. But like,
at least Carolina threw it down low, which is what Kentucky didn't do at the end of the game and what Purdue didn't do at the end of the game.
Well, Purdue threw it into Trevion Williams and he scored a bunch, but they couldn't get Zach Edey on the floor because you can only play one of them at a time. But the big thing was Jaden Ivey. All right. I mean, alleged pick. Top five pick goes out with 9 points, shooting 4 for 12, 6 turnovers. The one, my thing with Jaden, who is an incredible talent, I just think there are times he's like gets menu paralysis, you know, like you go into a place with has such a big menu and so many options and you can't decide. That's his game. He can do everything and it's like he can't decide what to do. So it's like, should I drive to my left here? Should I pull up? Should I shoot the floater? Should I shoot the three? And he makes a lot of wrong decisions then. So he just needs to work on his decision making. So, but that's as bad a loss as Purdue has ever had. And they've had a lot of bad losses.
Also bad losses by supposed lottery picks, Chet Holmgren and Gonzaga. Gonzaga, I saw this stat, probably might be true, might not. They've beaten one top three seed in like the last X number of years. Like they never beat the really good teams in March.
Could be true.
They're always a high seed and they don't, but, right. I mean, this was ridiculous. I mean, they were bad. And Chet Holmgren, he's got a lot of ability and I like him and he's going to do fine. But I am terrified picking him high. Every guy in the NBA is going to try to dunk on him. Everyone was dunk. He cannot stand up around the rim when they really come in on him.
I don't know. I don't know. My biggest takeaway watching that game.
9 points for him too.
No, 11 points and 14 rebounds. Yeah.
Not enough.
He only played 24 minutes. He played 24 minutes because the refs took him out on a couple of crap calls, including the third foul on him when Jalen Williams just barreled into him.
Yeah, that was bad.
And he backed off and they called the foul on him. So, I mean, 24 minutes, 11 points, 14 rebounds. He was not the problem. Andrew Nembhard was the problem. He couldn't go around anybody, couldn't make any shots. He was 2 for 11 with 5 turnovers. Played 40 minutes and just could get nothing done. That was the big problem. They relied on three guys, Drew Timmy, Chet Holmgren, and Andrew Nembhard. And Nembhard just got destroyed by Audiz Tony from Arkansas. Too many athletes from Arkansas.
Other game, Villanova against Kansas. Like I said last week, like if Villanova's got, if when Jay Wright's got the good stuff, don't bet against them until you're really sure. And, man, he is just such a good coach.
Unbelievable.
I don't even know if they really got the good stuff this year. But here they're back. Great run. It's just a solid, like, you're watching it, and you're just like, this is excellent basketball.
Yeah.
The way they play, the way they move the ball. He's 20-3, on a 20-3 run in NCAA tournament play. The loss of Justin Moore is devastating for them. We'll see if they can handle what I think is a very, very good Kansas team. You know, I doubt it. This is a break for Kansas and an unfortunate deal for Justin Moore and for Villanova. But that's obviously going to be the other game. When you got Villanova Kansas as a Final Four game and it's the other game.
Yeah, that's the undercard game.
Yeah.
And it's that's how good this Final Four is. So I feel terrible for Justin Moore and terrible for Villanova because he's their number two scorer. He's their leader in minutes played. He usually guards the other team's best perimeter player. They're screwed without him. I mean, they've been a six-man team, and now you're down to five, and five doesn't work. Their bench is nothing, non-existent. Their seventh through 12th guys, none of them even average 10 minutes or 2 points a game. So they don't really exist. And all of a sudden now, you're going to have to conjure up something to take the place of a guy, you know, who's an extremely good player. And that was awful to see. At first, I was watching it, you know, when it happened, the injury, and I was like, what just happened? Did he slip? And then you thought maybe he was tripped. And then the replay is like, oh, no. And you saw that calf ripple, and you knew that it was an Achilles. So brutal. But, I mean, this Villanova team, it's unbelievable to me what Jay Wright has done in terms of, like, they just play differently than anybody else. They are slow offensively. They're 349th nationally in tempo because they spread the floor and they ISO you. They pound the ball. They get their guards to back you down. They like almost invert the court. They guards back you down and then they'll pass for threes or else they'll post you up and shoot. They are the kings of the head fake, the pivot, the up and under, all this sixth grade CYO stuff. And it works, but I'm afraid they're up against it now.
Yeah, it's going to be tough. Kansas, what is it? Just need a few dudes or a few guys?
A couple real guys.
Got a couple real guys.
Yeah. That was the famous text to TJ Gasnola.
It would have been the most famous quote from the FBI scandal, except
strong ass offer. Yeah. The Academy Award for greatest quote from the SDNY scandal is strong ass offer over just need a couple real guys.
We need some more slapping in that thing.
Somebody go up and slap Gasnola on the witness stand.
I'm thinking the NCAA would prefer not to see Kansas win with level one charges laying out there on Bill Self.
You think? Although, hell, you know, I mean, the embarrassment has been going on for so long. It's like almost like now it's just a punchline. But it would be a bit awkward if, yes, with a major infractions case, including level ones levied at Bill Self himself, if he's up there cutting down the net next Monday.
I mean, the fact that this is why you have to, like, get these cases out of the way.
Right.
It's embarrassing for everybody.
Yep.
Taking this long.
Yeah. There is no reason for this still to be going on other than slack and sloth. And, yeah, this now, again, one more thing, biting the NCAA in the ass.
Yeah. You've got this hanging over the deal. As I've said, you know, the violations don't really – I mean, this is college basketball. What are we going to – Kansas cheated. Okay. Well, how's Duke and Zion Williamson case going? Right. How's the no-show class? I mean, the whataboutism is fine. I mean, this is what it is.
Yeah, everybody can point fingers at everyone else in this.
Yeah, there's nothing. Well, I mean, I don't know what Villanova did. They probably didn't do anything. Yeah,
they had like a scam on a phone credit card thing early in Jay Wright's tenure.
I mean, that was like 15 years ago. They were calling home.
I know. Yeah,
right. They had a long distance. That was the dumbest scandal ever. Yeah. They took the basketball's like recruiting phone pass code, and they were calling their girlfriend at home. I mean, come on. But you know what? That got litigated a lot quicker than the Kansas thing.
It did. And Villanova got more punishment than say North Carolina did for the academic for 2 decades of academic scandal.
Guy stealing a phone code. Behind the coat, like they're literally hiding it. That was not a scandal, but that's how it used to be. It used to be big. Oh, they got an extra benefit. They called their mom on the phone at the office. It was before like cell phones were everywhere.
Yeah, right. Exactly.
Right. You didn't have the unlimited text and talk plan. Lily from AT&T was not helping out. No, this is a serious. Like they got a lot of stuff here. My issue always with Kansas is the same one. Their bag man, their chief bag man, Jim Gatto, is currently in prison right now. Jim Gatto has never ratted on them, never testified against them, never sued them, never done any interviews. I've tried.
Yep.
Never said a damn word about Bill Self in Kansas. He was the bag man for 10 years. There's an entire federal case on it. Steered money to Billy Preston, steered money to this. Constant text messaging with the staff, in on all the people, Bill Self asking them for, you know, get some guys, all the stuff. Jim Gatto's in prison. Jim Gatto was a middle manager at Adidas, made 130 grand a year. He's got a family. Nicest guy you'll ever meet, pretty much. Helped Kansas, partner in crime. And when Jim Gatto got in trouble, the NC and the FBI decided to paint this absurd victim. Kansas is a victim of Adidas and Jim Gatto and TJ Gasnola. Kansas ran with it. Okay, I guess. Trying to stay out of trouble. Yes, we were the victim. They then re-signed with Adidas, their victim, the victim creator, whatever, perpetrator.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Of course.
Not that much of a victim. They're still taking Adidas' money, still taking Adidas' players. But instead of just letting it go, they had to write the court and ask for $1.1 million in restitution from Jim Gatto.
Yeah.
A guy with no money. A family, no career, and a felony charge who is facing prison that he's now in. And Kansas, with all its money and all its might and its rich coach and its rich boosters and humming along to the Final Four, had to kick the dude while he's down, try to stomp out whatever future he's got by asking for $1.1 million from him because he victimized them.
Yeah.
Nothing to do with NCAA violations. That's just straight up, what kind of person are you?
Yeah, that's dirty.
That is dirty. Pathetic.
Yeah.
No code. No honor. No ethics. You are just a dog when you're doing that.
Yeah.
Now, maybe that plays out in some hayseed town in Kansas, but it doesn't play out where I'm from or anyone else. You did this guy terrible.
Yeah.
He is paid an enormous sum to help you get those players. And instead of just letting him go, you're like, I'd like to financially bankrupt him and his family, even though we have hundreds of millions of dollars, because we're Kansas and we feel we'll win some little PR win by claiming we're a victim. I don't know what.
Yeah. No.
It's you like asked for $1.1 million from a guy with $0. Bill yeah. Self, pathetic. And it's the Kansas lawyers. Bill Self's the most powerful guy there. It's the Kansas AD. Bill Self's the most powerful guy there. He got a lifetime contract from it. He should pay the money back.
That's
the board of directors. Sure he isn't. Mm-hmm. Pathetic. I have no respect for Kansas or Bill Self because of this. Not the cheating, not all the other stuff, whatever. But when you treat your friends like that, a guy who's still loyal.
Yeah, still not
rolling
on.
He's taking the weight. He's taking the months.
Yeah.
Pathetic.
Yeah. No, that's the thing, too, is like now they not only like they took this specious role that the SDNY provided them. They played the role. Then they go after Gatto for dramatic effect, I guess. And they give Bill Self the lifetime contract on top of all of it. And it's like, holy moly. I mean, talk about no shame.
I mean, you can give Self the contract and you can pretend you're the victim and just be like, geez, we got away with that. Yeah. Whistle past the graveyard, concentrate on your NCAA thing. But you don't go then take a vengeful stance to destroy an individual. This isn't the game of recruiting.
Right.
The game of recruiting is, okay, we gave 90 grand. Gatto and Gasnola get 90,000 to Billy Preston's mom. Well, guess what? She was getting 85,000 from somebody else. Okay.
Right.
That's the game.
Mm-hmm.
This is, I'm going to ruin this guy's life that's already been ruined. I'm going to further ruin a guy who was my friend.
Yeah.
Who has not come out against me. I mean, he should be singing to the NCAA.
Oh, hell. And he should be writing a book like Merle Cohn.
Too good
did.
A person.
Yeah. No, he should.
One guy is handling it with honor, and one guy's in the Final Four.
Yeah. Yeah.
And you know what, Bill? You got a great team, and you're a hell of a coach, and I think they're actually going to win it. But that, just to me, is just inexplicable.
It is.
I would not want to be that person.
No.
I don't care how many national championships you win. Just shut up and let the guy live his life.
And then now
he has to pay $342,437.25, which is classic. to Kansas and NC State was in on this too. So there, I have no. The NC State gets it too. They asked for a lesser amount.
Well,
most of it's going to Kansas, who wants all of the scholarship money of like Billy Preston and Sylvia DeSouza repaid plus legal fees. Thanks, man. So he gets out. He's a felon. He doesn't have a job, and he owes $347 to these two schools.
Yeah.
Kansas is what the lights are going to go out there.
Yeah. The Big 12, by the way, the Big 12 units from this NCAA tournament will be $36 million. So that's spread over 10 teams, you know, 3.6 million.
During the Final
Four,
it's like he destroyed their basketball brand. All right, we got to move on. I'm right on this one. Kansas fan, Kansas fans get angry anytime I mention it, but
whatever.
Tell me how I'm wrong. Tell me you want to be a part of that. All right. Enjoy your team, though. Hell of a team. Also, another NCAA, how slow can we go? James Wiseman case.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, he's now a veteran in the NBA.
Yeah. 2019.
It's 2022. Mm-hmm. James Wiseman case. Memphis is facing at least 4 level 1 and 2 level 2 violations. But the real key is Memphis is accused of destroying the evidence, including wiping out. They like basically blew up a laptop. Yeah. They kind of wiped out a laptop. So when the NCAA looked, there was nothing past a certain date. Just somewhat suspicious.
Wiped a laptop, like it was an assistant coach's laptop, yeah. And phones, and yeah, so they destroying a little evidence.
I like it. That's very Memphis. Very Memphis.
It's extremely Memphis. I mean, look, the whole thing is is very, very Memphis. They know their way around a few NCAA cases, and this one fits in with the best of them. Going back to Dana Kirk, who got busted for tax evasion back in the day, and then the Derrick Rose ACT, et cetera. So the legacy continues.
Classic. James Wiseman played all of three games.
Yeah. That was the best part. Like, the NCAA had Penny on, you know, impermissible benefits for him, and they held him out for like one game. Then they're like, never mind. We're playing him. We're just going with it. And then the next thing you know, here comes the investigation, and it's a big one. And here we are now.
Probably shouldn't have done that.
Probably not.
They were trying to like, we don't care. Yeah, we'll see what happens. I'm stunned that Memphis would destroy it. The cover-up's worse than the crime. You know nothing from Watergate.
Yeah.
Got a history professor over there in Memphis.
There we'll are. See. But we're dealing with an AAU coach whose knowledge of NCAA rules was probably not significant in old Penny. And then he also hired Larry Brown, who his knowledge of NCAA rules should be significant because he's always violated them everywhere he's been.
What great. Could go wrong?
Yeah. What could go wrong?
What could go wrong?
So I want to know which assistant coach is left. Is this like Mike William, Mike Miller, Rasheed Wallace? You know, there's a few options there.
That's right. Sheed's on the staff. Yeah.
Sheed came and went. He's gone.
Oh, he is.
He okay. started this year with them, and then I think midway through the year, he got to the point like, I don't really want to do this anymore.
No, they were on like a 5-game losing streak. And yeah.
You watch the TV, like the TV timeouts, like Sheed's kind of looking around or just got some player off just kibitzing, you know, or something. It's like not really engaged.
I love Memphis program. I don't want Penny to go anywhere. Get Sheed back on. They fooled me, though. They played so well against Gonzaga, and Gonzaga beat them. Then I thought Gonzaga was going to win. I'm angry. Yeah. I fell for the okey-doke on that one.
So they're not going to get rid of Penny, though, are they? I mean, they love him down there.
Why would you?
Here's the only thing. If he gets like a 1-year suspension. But even then, you could ride it out and just hand the keys to LB.
Larry Brown knows what he's doing. Absolutely. I would not get rid of him. I mean, I wouldn't get rid of Bill Self.
Well, they're not. Who cares?
That's for sure. Guy can coach.
Yeah.
I mean,
Kansas ain't getting rid of Bill Self.
They didn't get rid of Will Wade till they had to. I mean, I guess it's ridiculous, but especially going forward, no way I'm getting rid of Penny Hardaway.
Yeah.
Absolutely no way. One. All right, little
I got my sandwich order real quick, Dan. While you guys
are inspire you.
While you're going down the Kansas rabbit hole, I was getting a little hungry, and yes, you inspired me. I ended up pulling the trigger on the Godfather from Rinaldi's down the street.
Sweet. All right. You know what? Send a picture to Doug Eddard and tell him what he's missing.
I will. It's got 14 different meats on it, basically.
14 meats?
Not 14, but it's like five. And it's really good.
Send us all a picture of it. Yes. Put a picture on Twitter. We want to see this beast.
Yep. Yeah, looking good.
Yep.
Looking good.
Peacocks are resting out.
Yeah.
Quick update, some other college sports updates. Frozen Four.
Mm.
We have a massive clash. Minnesota versus Minnesota State.
Oh,
Michigan's moving on to Boston. Let's go.
Yeah.
Is Michigan playing Denver?
They're playing Denver.
Okay. My Pioneers pick is looking good. Gotta say.
They are. Michigan, Denver. That'll settle our little thing. Women's Final Four is not set as we tape, but we got Stanford and South Carolina, potential of all four number ones.
Yeah.
And or maybe Connecticut. So it's going to be, that's going to be really good.
Stanford, South Carolina played that crazy game for the championship last year. Stanford won by a point, and it was like which team could avoid screwing up just long enough to win. So that South Carolina got a little unfinished business from that one.
We'll talk a little of that. Also, the fencing championships were done.
Yes, Notre Dame.
I call it the admissions fraud bracket. Fencing. This is only rich people.
It's not in their house.
Not shanking, switchblade, like it's West Side Story, Pat.
Well, no, the goal is not to kill somebody, Dan. It's not.
Rich people fence.
I've heard some story. I want to say.
Oh, there's like one inner city fencing program is going to change. Yes. The projects will be restored.
Uh-huh.
Come on.
Like that we know we had people on our Olympic fencing team that were from, I want to say it was someplace in Brooklyn or something. You know, that was
well, parts of Brooklyn are very wealthy.
I know, but these
this is garbage. This is a way for rich kids to cut the line. There's no reason to have NCAA fencing. Now, I'm a little worried because these people can come at me with a very sharp, quick object very quickly and probably poke me.
Yeah, so, yes,
so I'm taking off. I'm standing up to power.
The hockey kids. The hockey kids are from the hood. Is that what you're telling me?
I'm not saying the hood. Hockey is a widespread played sport.
Okay.
Okay.
But
almost nobody fences. I've never even heard of. I don't know one person that's ever fenced, other than the Olympic people that just magically show up. Let me tell you. Let me read you how the fencing championships went.
Okay.
Let's see some gritty schools here.
Here we go.
Notre Dame won. Good job. Harvard, Columbia Barnard 3, Princeton 4, Ohio State is 5. They're just good at everything.
Uh-huh.
They probably have their own like gazillion-dollar fencing facility.
They
there.
Probably do. Okay, yeah, the Marge and Joseph Smithers fencing pavilion. Yeah.
It's like a big time fencing club in like South Akron.
Right.
Produces. Penn State was 6. St. John's, Penn, Yale, Duke, NYU, Stanford, Cornell, UC San Diego. See, it's
UC San Diego. That's keeping it real.
That's cute, I guess. Where's the Army? They should the bayonets. Why are I'm nervous about this?
Well, again, you know what? I think it was Kentucky won the rifle, which again, another great concern for our military. Issue.
We haven't fought with bayonets in 100 years, Dan. Yeah, I think we're okay.
Ain't a lot of bayonet fighting going
All
on.
All right, good point.
Civil War is over. World War I is over.
Attention, Southern District of New York. Check the fencing thing. I'm just saying. Might be a way to sneak some kids past the. It's a whole bunch of kids that didn't get into all those schools, who didn't have fencing as an opportunity growing up. Just like everybody, like all of middle class. I want to sailing. Come on, this is garbage. All right, we got that out of the way. Finally, let's do a little baseball. Sully's favorite sport. Okay. Lane Kiffin threw out the first pitch at the Ole Miss Tennessee game. Tennessee was 5th at the time. Aren't they number 1 now?
They are for the first time in program history.
Really?
Even I know that.
Wow.
Well, wow. They beat Ole Miss. Ole Miss was number 1. But Lane Kiffin threw out the first ball. Now, as you recall, his return to Tennessee on the football field as the Ole Miss coach, he used to coach at Tennessee, they threw mustard bottles and golf balls at him and things like that.
Got hit by a golf ball.
Got hit by a golf. They were throwing at the refs mainly, right?
They were throwing it at everybody. Okay. I mean, you know.
Yeah, but it just barely missed Lane, and he looked down. And he's like, "Oh, look, a little tracer golf ball."
Yeah, he did not flinch. I give Lane Kiffin credit for that. So his little trick was rather than throw out the first pitch of the baseball, he threw out the golf ball. Very clever.
I like it. That's classic Lane Kiffin. That's the Lane Kiffin we need right there.
And then Ole Miss turns around and loses 26-7 over 3 games.
Okay. Well. So. Vol juggernaut, they're taking you back to Omaha.
They are. I mean, you got a pitcher on the team that throws faster than any MLB pitcher all last year. So
really
leads the country in home runs and runs. They're very real.
Okay,
so it'll be fun.
Have you heard of this this team, Sully? The Savannah Bananas. It's not a college baseball team.
They are awesome.
The Savannah Bananas is like a college age team. They play single A. Is that I don't know what they're playing. It's a little they exist. Well, they're all about fun.
Well, the name implies that.
Yeah, Savannah Bananas. Yeah. They're quote TikTok's favorite team.
Oh,
okay. They have more followers than any MLB team on the TikTok platform. They let the players announce themselves, introduce themselves on the way to the plate, stuff like that. Good times. So they had a new rule. I'm wondering if anyone's interested in this. If you hit a foul ball into the stands and the fan catches it, it's an out.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Okay. Savannah Bananas.
I'm a fan.
How'd they get this pass? Like, what is this league? The Coastal Plain League.
Okay. And you just make up your own rules and go.
I don't know. Apparently.
That's what, you know, it should be, though. Like, in our stadium, these are our rules. And then you can have your rules in your stadium, and we just go from there.
You like that rule? The fan catches it, you're out?
Sure. Why not? Put your fans to work.
What if you're an opposing fan at the game? Like, let's say, I mean, this is
and then you're going to fight somebody somebody's going to catch it. I'm going to be knocking it out of your hand.
Although, I'm going to guess in the Coastal Plain League, there are no, like, traveling fans of
teams. Never know.
the team from, you know, Albany, Georgia, their fans are not coming over to Savannah, you know. Not
the Florence Flamingos, the Holly Springs Salamanders.
These for real?
The Wilmington Shark, yeah. Asheboro Zookeepers.
Zookeepers?
The Lexington County Blowfish. The Spartan Burgers.
Okay.
Spartan Burgers. Yeah. I think it would promote brawls in the stands because, like, you're hitting, okay, let's say it's like Dodgers Giants and it's like, you know, NLCS or something, and they hit the ball into the stands. Yeah. And you're a Giants fan watching the game at Dodger Stadium and you're trying to make the catch. Guys are just going to try to blast you.
Absolutely.
Which would lead to more fights in the stands and more videos for me to watch.
And then what you'd have to do, well, you'd need some organizing out there. So, like, you'd need, okay, blockers. If the ball comes into our section, this guy can actually catch. So we want him to catch it. And then the rest of us are going to be his protectors.
Oh, right, right.
Like rugby to keep the other guys off of him.
You could even stash some, like, ex-players, like your AAA guys in the playoffs, your call-up.
In the
playoffs. Right? Get some good hands people in each section.
That's right. Where do they tend to hit the foul balls to? Over here? Okay, go out there. Go where the home run hitters.
Everybody get out of the way if it's coming. He'll give the ball to the little kid.
Yep.
Bartman was ahead of the game. He tried this.
He dropped it, though, didn't he?
I think he did drop it, didn't he? Yeah, they dropped it, and then they blew up the ball. Yeah.
Yeah.
Still the strangest story. Anyway, we're way off the thing. Supposedly, this is a college sports podcast, but I'm not sure that's true.
No, we're an Oscar podcast now.
We will be back later in the week to preview the big Final Four, see what else is happening. And please continue to listen and subscribe and share us on social media and all of that. So we will talk to you later.